The book of Joel, the Lord brings me to chapter 2 in the first verse, and it says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them." Well, it's like I said, the day of the Lord is nigh at hand. Remember, Joel prophesied this. He said, "Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are as the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion." So then, everything is moving toward Joel's prophecy. Joel prophesied, I took you to the book of Acts the other night and showed you the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. He prophesied and it came to pass. And the other prophecy that Joel spoke of will come to pass. All that he has spoken of will come to pass because he prophesied in the name of the Lord. I will in chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then Joel is pointing toward the end time. He's pointing toward Calvary and the coming of the pouring out of the Spirit. And then he is pointing on, as it is picked up here and carried on over, it is pointing toward your day and my day. Should women prophesy? Should men prophesy? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Christ Jesus. That is to say, when you're prophesying, it's not you speaking, it's the Lord testifying. And it says here that the spirit will be upon all flesh. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. This I said to you this morning. I spoke to you of Adam and Eve being under the Shekinah. When it says pour out of my spirit upon, it indicates the blood on the seat of atonement and the Spirit of God being poured out on you, which means you could prophesy, but it would mean that you had God's Spirit. It would mean you could prophesy, but it would mean that, wouldn't mean that you are a Christian. You don't want to confuse experiences with salvation. Someone would say, well, you don't have any Bible, Brother Pike, to prove that you can prophesy and not have God's Spirit. The Bible said Saul prophesied. He had murder in his heart, was trying to kill somebody, but got in the presence of the great light And when he got in the presence of the great light, he prophesied so much till they thought he was a prophet. Some said, is Saul also among the prophets? See, so prophesying, he said, it'll be poured out on my servants. Didn't say sons. And on my handmaidens, it didn't say daughters. And I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. He said, and I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, the drunkard, the harlot, the murderer, the liar, the cheat. How can he do that? By putting the blood on the seat of atonement, giving grace. Grace to all. That's why that people continue to do the way that they do. They still feel like that they can get to God, and they feel like it's going to be all right. And they feel like that, well, I still feel God's spirit. I run back in the church every now and then, and I pray a little bit, and I get off to myself, and I pray a little bit, and I can feel God's presence. And I know he's still around. It's true, he's still around. The reason he's still around is because at this time he doesn't see your wrongs. That's why he's still around. The blood is on the seat of atonement, and God is looking at you through the blood. See, and he took away the sins of the world. He took your sins away just like he did the Christian sins. But their sins are only taken away momentarily. They're only taken away while the blood is on the seat of atonement. That is the sin of the sins of the wicked. See, God only put them out of his sight so that he wouldn't have to destroy the wicked, because to destroy the wicked, he would have to destroy the world. Because the righteous are so few in number, he has to have this great mass of people to run the world and let the world continue on. While you and I have natural means and facilities of survival, this gives us a chance to repent and develop our lives in God's presence. So God isn't letting the world go on because he loves people that are wicked. I tell you again, that's false preaching. When people get up and preach that, it's because they're ignorant or they're just false preaching. See, some may mean well and just be ignorant of it. But God is angry with the wicked every day. Remember that. The Bible says, I am angry with the wicked every day. Though he lets the wicked go on, he said, it's not my will that any should perish, not even the wicked, that they should come to repentance and have everlasting life. But these people going around doped up all the time and in their frolics and letting their passions go, God literally despises them. He abhors them. Why is it so many men and women are mixed up with each other in passions today? Because God abhors them. The Bible said that which is abhorred of God, that he would reject it. He said the whore is a deep ditch, and they that are abhorred of God shall fall therein. So then he abhors this last generation. And it's an adulterous generation. They're just an adulterous generation because they are abhorred of the Lord. So then, is God satisfied with this generation or people that do wicked? Can you go on out there doing the things that you do and still have God's favor, and God's still going to save you and bless you? Absolutely no. 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 Can you have God feeling good at you, and you go on doing your wickedness, and every time some preacher comes to talk to you, say, well, I know I ain't worthy of his blessings, and I know I ain't doing right, but, you know, it's just the goodness of God. He loves me. Don't lie to yourself. He don't love you. I said, he don't love you. And it won't take you long to find out. The Bible said you'll shorten your days by your disobedience, and the wicked shall not live her days half out. You keep on. You just remember that preacher's coming around, and God's giving you another chance. But he abhors you, and he's angry with you every day. And he doesn't feel good at you at any time. And the Bible said any prayer that you pray is abomination in his sight, and any offering you give is abomination in his sight. And he said, and I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth, and all nations that forget God, I'll turn them into hell. And he said, because you've forgotten me, I'll tear you into pieces. So don't get a misunderstanding. See, God loves the righteous, and God cares for the righteous, and God would slay the wicked today. Not after today, today. before the sun rise, he would slay all of the wicked on the earth if it wasn't for the blood on the seat of atonement. You say, prove that by the Bible. The Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained fire and brimstone down on it. And it's brought out in the New Testament that Lot had to do with the church. Which means the very day that the church goes out of here, God will cause this world to reel in like a drunk man. So how does God feel toward you? Somebody said, well, God feels good toward me because the preacher's been preaching the love of God. How that God loves everybody. The preacher's been preaching to you a lie. Because God is angry with the wicked every day. I keep telling you this over and over. I get a shotgun. I go after Brother Taylor. I pull back both and I turn toward Brother Taylor and I say, God bless you. I love you. I'm going to blow your brains out. I don't need no love like that, folks. I don't need no love like that. I say, just let me at you. I love you. I'm going to tear you into pieces. Anything that you can say to him is an abomination in my sight. I love you, Brother Taylor. Sounds like some folks in the church, don't it? All right, so we know where we're going now. See, God has said this thing. He means this thing. When you do wrong, God is angry with you every day. He said every day. There's not one, you don't have a good day from God. Somebody says have a good day. No need to say that to the wicked. They'll never have a good day. The Bible said there is no rest for the wicked. They're ever like the troubled waters is casting the mire upon the banks. And God is angry with them and seeking to destroy them. He's on their trail to tear them into pieces. So then you just be thankful that somewhere somebody is praying like a dad or a mother saying, my God, don't break my heart. My God. And you say, well, the Lord had mercy and he gave you a good day and he wanted to be kind and loving to you. No, that wasn't it at all. No, he's just as angry with you when that mother and daddy prays as he was before the parade. The only thing is he don't want to break their heart because they're Christian and he loves them and he don't want to hurt them. So he just lets you go on a little further and a little further and a little further. You love the Lord? Amen. So then we need to repent. We need to turn around. We need to get straightened out. We need to get our heads straight, as they say in the world, and realize that we're going to have to live right. We're going to have to do right. If we want the blessings of God on us, then we're going to have to do right. We can't go on this way. You may get that dart through the liver any time. The Bible said you want a wise man and he'll be wiser. You want a fool, you get yourself a blot. And the Bible said he'll continue on till the dart strikes through the liver. Some people are fools. They're not going to stop. They're going to take it for granted that because they got by yesterday, they can get by today. Look at the law. Somebody says, I'm smart. I didn't get caught. I've been doing this 5 years. And then goes a siren and a light. And all of a sudden, after 5 years, he's caught. And he thought he was smart. And he thought the police favored him. So he said, I don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I don't mean this toward my wife, and I'm just passing on a little something here. We was coming down the highway. I've told you about this. And the Lord showed me she was going to get a ticket, which Betty never gets a ticket as a rule. Sometimes folks can get overconfident. She was driving our motorhome. I said, Betty, she was in a hurry to get home. I said, honey, I said, you're going to get a ticket. Nah, I ain't going to get no ticket. So on she went. In a little while, I said, honey, I know you're going to get a ticket. No, I ain't going to get no ticket. So about that time, here he come. And he pulled her over, and that kind of shocked her a little bit. She said, I still ain't going to get no ticket. I said, I got a feeling you are. She told him all about why she was doing that and why she had to do that, and she explained it like we all do, you know. He said, yes, 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 sure, sure. He handed her a ticket. So that's why I say, you know, we take grace for granted, as we say, as country boy says, but we keep on and keep on, and after a while, we're going to stand before the judge, and we're going to tell him all of our problems, and we're going to think he just thinks a lot of us, and he's going to say 5 years, 10 years, take him away. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. God, he loves you. He loves you as his creation. He loves you as the way he made you. He loves you that way. But when you start doing wickedly and you start doing evil, he doesn't love you. He He doesn't love you. He is angry with you. And he will tear you into pieces. Look what he done to Sodom and Gomorrah. Look what he done to the people in Noah's day. Isn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Would he destroy those hundreds of thousands of people and still let you and I get by? He said in one place it wouldn't make any difference if Samuel stood before me. And the Bible said he never did let a word of Samuel fall to the ground. He said even if Samuel stood before me, it wouldn't make no difference if it was Joshua. He said I wouldn't hear him. And he told Moses, when Moses said, just blot my name out. He said, I'm not going to do that. He said, I will in no wise acquit the wicked. I will blot the name out of the book of life of him that does evil. So then that means that we have got to do right. Now I'm glad to have you here tonight. I appreciate you coming. I see my grandson Tony back there. And I see Richard in service. We're certainly glad to have him. All the others, if I happen to overlook you, I'm glad to have you here tonight. But let me tell you something, folks. It's like I preached, I believe it was on a Sunday morning here. You can't do wrong and get by. The old folks years ago used to sing that song, you can't do wrong and get by. And they sang a little song. Every step that you take, this great eye, it is awake. There's an eye watching you. Watching you. So the eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth. The Bible said, beholding the good and the evil. Somebody would say, well, I never have seen any eyes of the Lord. Well, look, here's two of them beholding it right here. Two of them beholding. I'm bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh. There's two more over there. Somebody say hallelujah. So the eyes of the Lord are beholding the good and the evil. And know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? They're going to judge the entire world. So then we've got to do good. Now, if we do good, then we get pure in heart. Because if the only way to do good is to believe what he said. When you believe what he said, then you will do good. Because I'll tell you, when you get to believing that somebody's over the hill coming to blow your brains out, and doing a little bit good, a little bit different, that he's going to turn go the other way, I tell you what, I would dance for him or sing for him or whatever he wanted. I would if he just put the shotgun down and said, going another way. Oh, somebody said, I wouldn't do that. Well, the Bible said you'll give all you got for your life. I got a feeling you'd give him your pocketbook and you'd give him your car. And if he wanted something else, you'd give him whatever he wanted. You say, you can have it. All that you got, you'll give for your life. You know, right now you're big and brave. You say, not me, not me. But wait till the shotgun's on you and you know the man behind the trigger will pull it. I'll guarantee you, you'll do different altogether. So, I feel this way. I feel like Elijah. When Jezebel got after him, he thought it was a good thing to run, so he took off. And that's the way I would be, right there. Somebody said, you mean you wouldn't be man enough to stand against them things? Not, I wouldn't even be equal to a little boy. I would run, I would take off, and I would go. That's what I would do. I'm being straight with you. Now, if the Spirit of the Lord came on me, like it did when Samson faced that lion, it wouldn't make no difference with me then. Because if he had me, if it was a lion or whatever, there would be something that would make me believe if I could get my hands on him, I could handle him. There's something about that when the Spirit of God comes on you. David said, I've run through a troop and I've leaped over a wall. And I know that feeling. I've had it to come on me in the face of a gun or anything else. And when it comes on you, there's something about it that you are different. Amen. Women died before the fire, before the guns. They died and wouldn't recant. Women that would have been nervous and tore all to pieces. But in that hour, God gave them grace and let the Spirit of the Lord come upon them. And they were brave and courageous, and they stood in the face of death and never flinched. Died with a great testimony. Well, anyway, I'm just trying to say that what we need to do is get our heart pure. Faith in God will give us courage. Faith in God will purify our hearts. Faith in God will let us be pure in heart so that we can see the Spirit which is the revelation. The pure in heart shall see the revelation. God is a revelation. The pure in heart shall see God, who is a spirit that presents himself in the form of revelation. That is something to be revealed. The spirit, you cannot see the spirit with natural eyes. It has to be revealed to your spiritual eyes. And you have to behold him. As Jesus said, I do always the things I see my Father do. That is, you have to behold him with spiritual eyes. So, this is what I want to bring you to. And this is what I'm trying to bring you to. And there's a lot to be said. Now, we said a lot this morning. You may never get a hold of a lot of things that we said this morning. And I'm sure that some of you, I could tell from your reaction, some of you today got something. My wife said I understood some. Not all that I would like to understand, but I understood some of it. So then, I would like to be able to share this wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, have you really got a revelation? Well, you can bear witness of that. You've been here, you've heard numbers of times. Do I have a revelation, or do I have the revelation? I have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Having a revelation, that's good. And if you get a revelation, you rejoice, because that means your eyes have come open. But when you speak of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that means the program of God as to what he intended from the beginning and what he is doing now and what it will result in as into the end time. So we've received the revelation. Paul received the revelation. John received the revelation. Not a lot of people have ever received the revelation. The reason for that, it is a periodic thing as to the scriptures. At certain times and seasons, because when the revelation comes, it is the end of the world. You understand why not very many people ever receive the revelation? Because it is the end of the world. Let me read it to you right here. When the revelation comes, it is the end of the world. That's why that when Peter said, thou art the Christ, he turned and said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So then, it reads here in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, reading the revelation now, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, the prophecy of this revelation, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. When the revelation came, that was the end of the world. See, the revelation, when it comes, the revelation, now you might get revelation for years. People have always been getting revelation. But when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes, that means the end of the world. Because what the revelation is the revealing of the invisible world and the invisible forces and the invisible kingdom of God to bring forth the invisible world to visibility. And that means that there has to be a radical change. The body has to be changed for that. But the way it comes to begin with, it comes into your heart. The law and the prophets until John. Since that time, Calvary and the kingdom of God has been preached, because the veil has been rent in twain and the revelation came. And from that time, the revelation has been preached. But look how slow men were to get it. Paul came and got the revelation and was caught up into the third heaven. But he couldn't say anything about it. He said, it's not lawful for me to speak those things that I saw there. Because it would have brought in another world. If I program you with another world, that world up there, then you're going to think on that world. And as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I wish we had time to really go into this. It's just like Chuck went to Caltech. Before he went to Caltech, he was in one world as to his understanding. But when he finished in Caltech, he was in another world because he had another mind. And whatever mind you get, that's what you are. And what you are, that means that you belong to the world that was made for that particular thing. Jesus said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is a devil. He knew that he was all that world. It was Satan. He looked at Peter, and when Peter allowed a spirit to come on him, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because if Peter had followed that spirit, he would have been for the world of darkness. Because that's an intellectual regime and a reign from an intellectual point of view, and it's another world. So if I indoctrinate you through the days, the months, and the years, if I thoroughly indoctrinate you with another world, now I can indoctrinate you all night long by telling you about another world, telling you about another people, telling you about great things. But see, if I tell you, if I take the world and I see that world and I put it together in your mind like a puzzle, piece by piece, and if I get you to believe in that, then that means that you're transformating in mind. From glory to glory, you're transformating. Now listen real close, because I ain't going to try to keep you long tonight. You're transformating in mind. That's why I say the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has become an indoctrination. It is now revealed. The kingdom of God is now at hand. It's not far away. It's now at hand. When Jesus came, he was the fullness of the kingdom of God. So he stood there, God, the eternal spirit, as to the spirit world. It was in the inside of Jesus in the fullness. And he said, I am the light of the world. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundant. For I am the Prince of Life. And he was filled with that life. So he says to them, I am the light of the world. Then as he lit the little candles, like the old candlelighter used to go when he would go down the street lighting the candles, lighting the little sidewalk lights, he said, I go away. Now, I go away. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. I am the light of the world in the fullness. I have the fullness of it. See, but he said, now, when I go away, I'm going to come back to you according to the measure that you're able to receive of my spirit. And as you receive this measure, you're going to be that kind of a light. You're going to have that kind of understanding. You're going to be that measure of this great light. And when all of you come together with your measures, you're going to put them together, and it's going to bring the fullness of that light, and you're going to be the light of the world. That is, when you come together, I'm going to be in your heart. He was the head of that church. So when you find the pyramid city, take like a man, he'll stand like this, you know, just kind of man or woman, spread the legs out and stand like this. The Bible said 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea. Hand raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. See, starting at them feet on either side, going right on up to a headship, up a pyramid city. Right on up to the headship. Paul went up to the third heaven. Jesus is the headship. See, Jesus is the headship coming up to that pyramid city, looking out at that great all-seeing eye. You see this little thing drawn on a dollar bill or something. See, the all-seeing eye, Christ, the head of the church. Christ. Paul, he was the head of the church. Because he said, it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me. So he was the head of the church. So he went up to the third heaven, the capstone, that great pyramid building that he was going to build. He said, I'm a wise master builder. The Lord laid the foundation while he was here. I'm a wise master builder. I'm the oversight. I'm the overseer. I've been caught way up here. I can look all the way down. I can see the foundation. I'm going to build it right up to me because I am the revelation of Jesus Christ in the earth. So when the revelation comes, that means the end of the world. Now, do we believe in revelation? We believe in revelation. What is it then that is taking place at this time? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Why is this ministry different? Someone would say, well, it's no different than any other ministry. That's true. It's no different than any other ministry in that Christ. If it's a true ministry anywhere, that's Christ. And all ministries is Christ if it's a true ministry. But the thing is, I tell you again, he promised in the end time there would be a sevenfold light. Somebody said, well, everybody's got the sevenfold light then if it's in the end time. Sure. Everybody's got it. God gave it to everybody according to the measure that he dealt to them, and that measure was according to what they applied themselves to receive, and according to whatever it would be. In every age, it doesn't matter what age it is, there is a foundational thing. There are lively stones, and it's built up into a headship. In every age, it has to be that way. Search the Bible. I know that some of you that hear this, you don't understand this. You could never accept it. And that's all right. Don't bother. Just hold on to what you got. Believe what you got. If you got God, go on your way. Don't bother with this. But still, what I'm telling you is true. Someday, if you ever grow up, you'll come to it. So go on as you are. Don't make your faith shipwreck. Don't try to believe something that you don't understand. But a man that's wise will search out a matter. He'll want to know, because Paul said, go on to the full reward. And let us go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. A man that's picking up diamonds here and he's getting a few small diamonds, and somebody said, just over the way, just keep picking up. They're getting bigger all the time. He'd keep picking up because he'd look for those big ones. Used to when men would dive for pearls, they would dive deeper and deeper and sometimes burst the lungs because they wanted those pearls of great price. It was down deep. And the big pearls, they went after them. So then we that follow God, as Paul said, forgetting these things that are behind, I've done seen something that's so far greater that I don't want the beggarly elements of this world, and I don't want to be in bondage to them with my mind, so I'm moving on. How am I moving on? I have the kingdom of God within me. And I'm moving from glory to glory. On the inside, I have one thought and another thought and another thought and another thought. And each one of those thoughts are the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mind of God revealing itself to me from the kingdom within, according to the measure that I would let dwell in me. And every thought is illuminated, so it is called a glory. And I'm moving from thought to thought, from perception to perception, which is from glory to glory. And from my innermost being, it is moving outward, outward into this body. And that's why that Stephen's face shine, wisdom, which is understanding that becomes light, maketh the man's face to shine. And that's why Moses' face shined. And that's why they had to put a veil over his face. It indicated God within Jesus, which veil was to be rent at the proper time. Crossing the Jordan, as to the intellect, shows it. And then came Joshua, who had to do with Christ. So then we see, as the separation of Joshua and Moses, as Moses went thus and Joshua went thus, the rent veil. The conquering of the carnal mind. On the inside, I have this glory. I already have this glory. This is heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. It's already given to me. I already have this wonderful knowledge of the mystery of God. So then it's on the inside. Some already have. According to their measure, they already have heavenly treasure in their earthen vessel. They already have this. See, this is a heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel. I already have this on the inside of my vessel. But this glory that's on the inside is breaking forth and is coming forth into my blood genetics to make my blood royal blood and to bring me into the wonderful chains of the great image of God. I'm coming into this because this glory is moving outwardly from within to glorify, to swallow up this outer being. Many, many things in Revelation that we could say about that. So then the glory is breaking forth. And the Bible says that we are beholding, as it was, our face in a mirror. And we're not looking as it was in Moses' day. We're past that. We're seeing face to face. And we're beholding the glory of God with open faces. And this glory of God is changing us into his very image of immortality and the celestial image that he is in the spirit. So then we're moving on. This glory is coming out. Just as much as we will feed off of it and feel our treasure as to our measure, just that much as we allow, as to the conformity of the body, as to the surrender of the body, as to the submission of the body to that great interlight, that's how big we're growing in God. That's how fast we're growing in God. That's as to the stature, as to the greatness of God that we're growing into. Whatever that is will determine our eternal abode as to our riches and greatness in God and to what we will be throughout eternity. That's why Paul said, get the full measure of it. Let's comprehend the height. Let's comprehend the depth. Let's comprehend the width. Let's comprehend the length of it. Let's get the full reward, he said, because it's freely given to you. Let whosoever will come. So then this great light is springing forth from within us and is changing our body. It is going to swallow it up. The more we release ourselves to it, the more it's going to swallow us up, until after a while, Brother Taylor can come over and say, well, I made it. They ain't going to put me in a casket. See, that is to say, we're moving to the chains, to the fullness of it, to where Paul said, this is a mystery. He said, but I want to show it to you. He said, we shall not all sleep, that is die, as the world say, but we'll be changed. We're going to come to a knowledge. We're going to come to a light. We're going to come to a power to possess our being, to where we will not be swallowed up with death, but death will be swallowed up in victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Christ. That is, I believe what he said. And what he said was, I give you power of all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. And death is an enemy, therefore I have power over death. And death has been conquered for my sake. He said, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the weak say I'm strong. Be strong in the power of my might. He said, you be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So then I'm of good cheer. He overcame death. When he overcame death, that indicated that I was free from death. When he overcame the world, that meant I was free from the world. I'm of good cheer because he overcome the world. And my confidence in God makes me powerful in my faith to the desires of mine heart. So then this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to comprehend. We're trying to fill ourselves with the knowledge of God. He said, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature. You're ordained to that. So then I come here day after day, and I come here night after night, and I've wrestled with you for many years, wrestling with you as little babes because I didn't want to hurt you. Be patient. I'm back the next time, and I'm back the next time, and I'm back the next time. No matter how disturbed I get, I'm always back. Why? Because I'm working with you as little babes, asking you to desire the sin-sealed milk of the word that you might grow thereby. But folks, let's don't get out on a tangent. Let's don't do like the Pentecostal world in general and go after shouting and jumping and hollering and never grow in the knowledge of God to the full measure of the full stature. I love to see people worship God, and I've brought you to worship, and I'm encouraging you to worship God. But I spent numbers of years to encourage you to understand what God is, and to understand the Word of God, and to receive the Word of God, and have something to rejoice over, and not be a bunch of people that come together in a ritualistic to holler and scream and keep the Word of God out and just go jumping and hollering and singing and all the things that you do. And when you get through, you hadn't grown a bit in God, you don't even know what you've done it for. You just know that everybody got happy, and that was supposed to be a special night. Wasn't nothing special about it. As a matter of fact, it was so unspecial because you took God's time away from him and didn't listen to the Word of God. So you couldn't have grown in that. So I'm telling you that what we need to do is grow in the Word of God, grow in the knowledge of God. I brought you now to a worship in God. Now, to praise God, because you've got to admit you're feeling something. And you're knowing what I talked about. And you're knowing that you're praising God to try to get his favor and to get into his presence, that he might illuminate you and that he might activate your faith and thinking to where you can see this great world and move into this great world and transformate in to where the angels are. Get in where the angels are. Translate, transformate. Fall into a trance. Get spiritual. Like Peter sitting on the housetop, just sitting there, hungry, would have eaten. And all of a sudden he fell into a trance while he waited. Have you ever fell into a trance? You've missed something if you've never fell into a trance. Be sitting there. Get spiritual. And just sitting there, and all of a sudden you fall into a trance. And God begin to show you things. And you begin to see heavenly things. You begin to see things as things to come. Great and mighty things, you begin to see these things. See, fall into a trance and see these things. Go into a vision. Have God to revelate something to you. And you get into a great world. A lot of you young boys and girls running around after this dope mess, That's, you know, that kind of junk. I can't see how intelligent people would do that anyway. I come up among all that stuff, and I never did mess with that stuff. I never did want it. I can't see how you'd do that anyway. But anyway, everybody says try it. You just got to try it. They're already beside themselves, and they're already wrecked, and they talk you into trying it, and you got the feeling that they got something you haven't got, so you try it, and soon you're in the pen with the pigs. So then, why don't you, young boys and girls, try the Word of God? This is not a hallucination. I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if you're in heaven, I see you, so I'm in heaven. No, see what it is. You're seeing lying vanities. You don't see me. Because if you saw me, you would be in heaven. So you're seeing lying vanities. That's what you're seeing. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit, the preacher said. It'll all pass away. This image will pass away. So all you're seeing is lying vanities. But do you realize that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, because faith comes out of that kind of thinking? And that's the way that Enoch was translated, that he should not see death as to what you call sleep, and went on. He discovered something. Folks, you've discovered something. That putting you in the grave is not death. That is asleep. Why then should you sleep? Why should you sleep? There's no reason for it. Somebody said, well, when people sin, they have to die. Everybody sins, or everybody's got to die. Because the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Somebody said, there you have it. It's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. So, Brother Pike, let's be reasonable. The judgment, every man has to taste death because of that. Well, then what does the Bible mean when it says that God looked down from heaven? What was he doing looking down from heaven? Said he looked down from heaven and beheld the prisoners. And he loosed. And he loosed them that was appointed unto death. What is he talking about? And he loosed. He loosed them because at the set time, at the time accepted, he succored them. And he loosed them. When was that set time? Calvary. When did he succor them? Calvary. When did he loose the prisoners? Calvary. Even to those that were in the heart of the earth. So then I'm free from death. I said that this morning. I'm not trying to repeat myself. But as a reminder, I have to run over certain phases that I brought out to you to put together what I'm trying to say. Some of you need to remember it anyway. So then I'm free from sin and death. I'm not only free, as I said this morning, from sin and death, but I've transcended the barriers of worlds. And I am in heaven. Someone would say, well, I'm looking at you, Brother Pike. You're flesh just like I'm flesh. No, I'm not in the flesh. I keep telling you that you're seeing lying vanity. I'm not in the flesh. Someone would say, I can see this as good as you can see. No, if you're not born again, you can't. For the Bible said, the wicked shall not see when good cometh. For Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded them. Well, some of you don't even have your mind on what I'm saying. You can't even concentrate on what I'm saying. The least little thing around you, and you got your mind on the babies, and you got your mind on going home, you got your mind on any kind of thing. You don't even have your minds on God. How could you see God? You don't even have your minds on God. You can't even keep your mind on God. So then, I've transcended the barriers of the world. I've gone into heaven. I've gone into heaven. I want to be with God. I like to talk of God. I like to pray. I like to do the things that please God. I don't have to drill myself to try to think on God. I'll reach out here and reel myself in and say, wait a minute, you done got on the wrong thing out there. You know, you've been on that about 2 hours. You better get back over here. In my heart, in my mind, he said, meditate on the laws of God day and night, and keep your mind stayed on Christ. Amen. Jesus. And I'll give you perfect peace and bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So then it is a life. It is a lifestyle with me. I love to be in heaven. I like being in heaven. Don't plan to ever change it. See, how can I be in heaven? Because I'm not in the flesh. If I'm not in the flesh, then what makes you think that you can see me? What makes you think you can see me if I'm not in the flesh? Somebody says, but I see your fleshly body. But the Bible said, I'm not in the flesh. If I'm not in the flesh, what makes you think you can see me? So I'm not in the flesh. That's why I'm not in the world. And if I'm not in the world, I got to be somewhere. Then where am I at? I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. So then the heavens have received us until the time of the correction of the restoration. So here I am, I'm in heaven. How did I get there? From glory to glory. I was changed from glory to glory, right on into heaven. And I'm still transforming in these great heights, higher, higher, in the school of wisdom, ever let me go. I'm still transforming into His glories, into His great height. Every day, living on a higher ground, we sing the song, a plane that's higher. A higher ground, transforming, transforming, transforming into the great, wonderful glories of God. Into the dimensional depths of the great Savior, after the pearl of great price. So then, this glory, I am being changed into His glorious image. Into His glorious image that I might receive at the ultimatum as to the coming of the Lord Jesus, that I might receive the fullness of that reward that He hath for me as to whatever measure I have submitted myself to, or whatever measure I have conformed to, as to believe in what He said and to give my body, my spirit, and my life to it. God, let me be presented to Thee, I would pray. Whole, complete. Paul said to present you to God, blameless body, soul, and spirit. So I am asking God to bless me, and I'm asking God to bless you. And that's why I talk with you, and that's why I try to tutor you, and that's why I try to indoctrinate you. Someone would say, well, when I leave, I've listened to everything you said. That doesn't mean anything. Unless you listen at it with faith, with hunger, and with thirst. Because, see, the word won't revelate to you. All you've got is an intellectual concept of it. And just to know it is to know the requirements and not be able to perform it, not having the Spirit. So that means death to you. And the Bible said you'd been better if you'd never known the way of the Lord. But you got to come to faith to receive this infilling of the Spirit. And then God will perform this in your life. And the word will transformate, and your thoughts will transformate, and you'll lose your hunger and thirst for the world. And then you'll have a hunger and thirst for God. Some of you are trouble right now. You don't understand why your children are losing their zip for the world and wanting God, because you still have a zip for the world. What it is, you're dying in the wilderness. And these children have done got enough of that out there. They've done seen enough of it. They've done heard enough of it. They know there's death after death after death and sorrow, being cast into prison, and all of these things are not what they're supposed to be. And they've done been under the guns long enough. So they're telling some others. And some others is beginning to get their bearings, and they're wanting to come into where God is. And they're wanting to look to the safe and secure side of life. While you press them with education and you say, I can't go to church, they got to go to school, and you stay out and you don't come to church, and mama says, well, daddy, you stay home and I'll go to church. And then daddy says, mommy, you stay home, because the little ones have to go to school in the morning. You know, I don't guess there's a bigger hypocrite that I know of than daddy and mommy when it comes to this kind of thing. Knowing that you don't want to go to the house of God. And you're so tired, honey, I just can't. I just worked today, and you know you're lying. Every word you say, you're lying. You know you joked and laughed all day long and eat hamburgers and drink pop and probably didn't get nothing done. If mommy don't believe I'm telling the truth, wait till poppy gets his paycheck at the end of the week and see how small it is. And then she'll know the preacher's preaching the truth. So see, when you just ride around and ride around and here and there, and you're just lazy and you don't want to go to church because you've used up all of your energy for the flesh. You know that. You know that. You need to come to the house of God. You need to come to the house of God. You need to listen to the word of God. You need to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Somebody said, well, what if I'm tired? What if I'm tired, Brother Potty? Go home and go to bed before church time, if that's the only way you can make it. Somebody said, well, I got to work. Well, you can do that when you get a mind to work. It's for sure some of you ain't got it yet. Let's give the Lord a hand. Just take a little time off, not from work, but from all of your riding around and eating and drinking. And go home, instead of running all day and running your mouth all day, go home and go to bed and sleep a little bit. Even on Sunday, and then you'll feel better when the preacher preaches. You'll be more fresher. You'll be ready to hear when you come to the house of God. And then you'll get something. Start hungering and thirsting after God instead of your passions and after some man's wife or some woman's husband. Start desiring God and hungering and thirsting after God instead of hungering and thirsting after your big way of telling somebody who you are and what you are and where you go and you're going to spin your wheels and you're going to get this and you're going to make money and telling them all about the things you know. Forget about that. Realize that you don't know nothing and that you need to learn something so you will know something. Get away from your old pot, smoking and being a pothead, drinking, being half drunk, vomiting all over everybody. Or just running your mouth all the time. I'm telling you the truth, isn't that right? You that's ever drank, you know that's true.
Right.
Smelling like a winery. See, get rid of that. I told my wife today, somebody says, we got to go to the rehabilitation place. Somebody says, it's going to cost me $10,000 for my son. I got to put him in rehabilitation. So they take him and they put him in rehabilitation. So they get the $10,000 and the son's turned out. And he goes back to doing what he'd done before. You know what it is? People are beginning to indoctrinate one another with the idea that they can't do nothing on their own. They got to pay somebody to do it for them. A lazy generation. Somebody says, well, that's just somebody's got to get off of dope. Well, why does everybody else do it? They hire somebody to do the housework. They want somebody to drive for them. You just use that little term, you know, you want a cat in the bosom to breathe for you. That's what old folks used to say. Say, you're so lazy, you have to have a cat in your bosom to breathe for you. Now you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that as long as somebody is telling somebody else. You know, I go to Frank and I say, Frank, son, you can't do it. Can't do it, Frank. Bad. Frank said, but I'm going to try. There won't be no need. You can't do it. So I keep on till I brainwash Frank. He ain't got a bit of confidence no more that he can do anything. So he said, well, what do you think I ought to do? I said, just set your corn and die. That's about all there is to it. That's about all life has for you. Now, I could say this, Frank. If you got about $5,000, I know how we work this out. I can give him all kind of confidence. See, I'm simply saying this, that as long as people, children, whoever it is being indoctrinated with the idea that they can't help it, they can't quit, it's just one of them things, you're taken with it and you're on alcohol and you're an alcoholic and that's something you're talking about being an alcoholic. I don't mean it's funny, but talking about it being an alcoholic. If you eat slop all the time, you'd be a slopaholic. I guess that'd be a proper name. It stands to reason that you're an alcoholic because that's all you mess with. Someone said, well, you just can't get off of it. Yes, if you'll quit eating slop, you won't be a slopaholic anymore.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you just can't do it. Once you start eating slop, you're just going to eat it. You know better than that. You can quit whenever you get ready, especially when you vomit enough from it. When you drink alcohol and you drink all the slop of the world and you vomit and get sick enough times, you're going to begin to think in a different direction. Somebody said, you just can't quit by yourself. I know that. And you can't go down to the local place down here as to a rehabilitation center and quit either. You're going to have to get God, and God is going to have to get the devil out of you. And when you get the devil out of you, you won't be running around looking for that kind of mess. It is the devil that follows those things. It is a pig nature that makes a pig go to the slop pen. He eats out of the slop bucket because he's got a nature for slop. And as long as you got the old devil, that nature for slop is going to make you eat out of the slop bucket. And it's going to make the old sow waller in her mire. That's right. Folks, you can't have the nature of a pig and live like a human being. And you can't have the nature of a true human being as to the creative act of God and live like a pig. You won't do it. You'll get out of the pig pen. And let me tell you something. You can do anything that you want to do. And through Christ that strengthens you, young man or woman, you can quit any time you get ready. Let me tell you something. If that isn't words of truth, then how in the name of reasoning can a person hear the gospel and come and be a Christian? If they are an alcoholic, how can they hear the word of God and come and be a Christian? How can they be a dope addict and hear the word of God and come and be a Christian? Somebody said, well, they come to God. What difference does that make? Somebody said, well, when they come and repent and they get down there, they're going to live right. Well, why is it that hundreds of thousands of people cry and weep and seek repentance and never find it, go back out and do the same thing? If they can make themselves go to a church, if they can make themselves go to the altar, and it would be a cruel God that would put them in a world or something to where they couldn't do that, they can do it. They're sovereign. If they can make themselves go to work, if they can make themselves do the things that they do, when they want a Coca-Cola, they go get it. When they want a beer, they go get it. When they want to go home, they go home. When they want to go for a ride, they go ride, go riding. When they want a wife, they go hugging and kissing on her or somebody else's. If they can do all of them things, they can leave the mess alone. They can leave the slop alone. They can leave the alcohol alone. They can leave the TV alone. They can leave the beer alone. They don't have to mess with it. It's not a matter of a rehabilitation. They've got a mind. They've got human senses. But you know what the problem is? Evil communications corrupt good manners. And they go out there and they stay with a bunch of pigs and a bunch of dogs. And naturally they're going to eat like them and smell like them. And as long as they stay out there with them, them dogs and hogs are going to program their mind to the hog way of life. But if you'll get out from among them, as Jesus said, come out of the world and be a separate people and leave the hogs and the dogs alone, you won't smell like them and you won't eat like them and you won't have an appetite like them. And you won't be listening to that thing at the world to discourage you, to tell you you can't do this and you can't do that. And you're hooked now. You won't be listening to that. You'll be listening to somebody saying that's a bunch of garbage. You are a person of your own. You've got your own intelligence. You can do what you want to. And then after a while, you begin to think right. And you begin to believe right. Because you're thinking right. And you're indoctrinated right. And then you'll begin to be right. Folks, that's the way it is. All of this other is a bunch of nothing. Did you know people that are hooked on, supposedly hooked on dope and hooked on alcohol and hooked on all of this stuff? Did you know that there is something that's similar? There's people that's hooked on doctors, hooked on medicine, and some people hooked on their belly, and that's all they want to do is eat. Somebody said, I just can't help it. I'm just going to grow bigger and bigger as I see and fall to the floor. I just can't help it. Somebody says, I just can't help it. Like that boy told me, I never will forget Harry. He grow bigger and he grow bigger and he grow bigger. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I just get near counter where there's candy and said, I just want to tear into it and get that candy. That's what's wrong with you. Somebody said, poor little me, I don't eat much, but I'm just gaining weight. You go down to their house and watch them pouring the beans, the jelly. Watch them pile it on and you'll see what's wrong with them. Folks, I'm just telling you the way it is. Somebody said, well, what do you do? Well, you know, if you're hooked, they say you can go to a rehabilitation center. I think they got what to call, of course, I don't know about jogging. It'd be kind of hard, folks, to jog when it gets so big, you know. But I'm just saying, this is how foolish it is, you know. People sucking on cigarettes is the same way. They go to church for 10 years, and they're still sucking on a cigarette, and they say, I just can't leave it alone. Somebody said one time, said, are you a man or a mouse? They used to have a little saying, are you a man or a mouse? You know, you get a little old weed stuck in your mouth and say, whoo, that got me. Can you imagine such a stupid approach to life as that? Somebody stuck it on a stinking pipe and a cigar and to say, I'm just bound tight. Where is this thing? Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, I can see that, but the other I can't see. So we've got a little jug of whiskey, and he gets up stumbling around. Oh, it's got me. I just got to get to that thing. You know? You see how stupid that is? That's where the word stupid belongs. I finally found a place for it. Finally found a place for it. All right. I praise God because we ain't got no Bethlehemites like that. No Bethlehemites like that. Our people believe that they can do what they want to whenever they get ready. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Sure you can. That settles it. Through Christ Jesus, I can do all things. All things. What you need to do, folks, they need to be indoctrinated with the right thoughts. And from that will come the right believing. And that believing will control them and compel them to whatever they want to do. So this is why that I tell you what I do. And this is why I indoctrinate you. Though we're going a little bit around the revelation tonight and speaking of some natural things, this is just a few stumbling stones that's in the way before we can get to this great, wonderful thing. Don't think that God is with you. Don't think that God favors you. Don't think that God's protecting you because you are some special person. When you do those wicked things, he hates every moment of you doing it. He's angry with you every day and looking for the place to get you off of the face of the earth so you don't trip up and hurt some little one or lead somebody else into that mess. He wants to get rid of you as quick as he can. I say again, because some mother or daddy is pleading and pouring out their heart, saying, oh God, please help my boy. Please help my boy. Then God is giving a little more grace. A little more grace. In church, this is what I try to tell you so often. The Bible said that we are making intercession to God for them that are without. We are in his stead, pleading the cause. Pray for them that are without, that God would grant repentance unto life to them people. Or that is, somehow he can get a hold of their heart and bring them to repentance as unto life. Just praying, just crying, that don't mean they found repentance unto life. Esau could not find it. So then, while he's near, call upon him. Call upon him. And let us pray as a royal priesthood, making an intercession with God, saying, save my brother, save my sister, save my daddy, save my neighbor, save my enemy, oh God, save the president, save, 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 Lord. Praying for all men that God might grant repentance unto life, or that is somewhere, somehow he may catch their attention and draw them to the things of God. Pray. Always pray. Men should always pray and not faint. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. And a lot of things are already coming on the earth. Tragedy, heartache, sorrow, problems. I heard a little touching thing the other day. I might have related it to you. I don't know. But Sister Betty was telling me how that some people was trapped over in Russia in this, I don't know what it was. Basement or whatever, where the cave-in was. And they found them after 30 days. They were still alive. And they had a little one, had a baby. And the baby was still alive. And the way the mother had kept it alive, fingers getting cold down there, said she had cut her finger, took a piece of glass she found, cut her finger, and she would take her finger and stick it into its little mouth, and it would suck the blood. And it lived off of that blood during that period of time. It lived off of that blood during that period of time and then was saved. They got it out saved and the little one is still alive. And I thought, you know, right here at this particular time, that's something. Born of the blood. Carried by the blood. During all of this time of being cut off from life, from God. See, here we are being fed and cared for by the blood. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. And there the little one had taken the mother's blood and stayed alive. I thought that was so wonderful. So wonderful. All right, let's stand together. We could go on and go on saying good things because it is good. It is good. To talk about God is good. I want a strong, healthy people that come in out from Bethlehem to the world to tell them the right way. I want someone so strong that they know that they can do what they want to by faith in God. And if they can stand before somebody else when the devil is so powerful in an unbeliever or in one that is an alcoholic, as the world calls it, and somebody's strong enough to stand in his faith and say, let me tell you something. You can do what you want to do. That's right. The Bible said, draw nigh unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I've been with some drunks on Skid Row. I've been with some of the worst, dirtiest, filthy, drunken people, sloppy drunk, habitual drunkards. And I prayed with them. I've seen them sober up. And I've seen God get a hold of them. I told this before, and I'm going to tell it again. It comes to my mind. Betty and I was in Chicago, deadly place. And we was at this big theater. I mean a big theater. Wow, this was a mammoth of a thing, too. A couple of balconies in it. And they was having service. I never will forget. It was a church. It turned into a church. And all of a sudden, the Lord seemed to be moving there. And people got to dancing and shouting. Dale, you probably remember this. You played that big, big, expensive organ, remember? And they got to shouting. And I looked, and in come a fella from off of the street. And there was, I don't know how many sisters, just a dancing in the spirit, you know, or just shouting and hollering. And he come in, and he was drunk. And he thought he'd found him a party. And he ran up, and he was going to hug one of them, you know. And she grabbed him by the arm and give him a spin. And he went over to the oven, and another big lady, she grabbed him and gave him another spin. And I stood and watched him, and they spun him like a top round and around, round and around. And I mean, they just kept on doing that. When he got a break, he sobered up, and he went out of there like that. I mean, he left that place. Now, you're talking about people that don't know what they're doing. He knew what he was doing. He found out real quick. That's the way it works. You can't tell me that they don't know. All you got to do is just put them in the right place. And they can think all right. I mean, he got out of there. I never will forget a fellow sitting there close to me. He got to doing like this, you know. And I got carried away. I got to laughing at him. And all of a sudden, he jumped up. He said, they're crazy. And he mentioned that. But anyway, it was wonderful. I just thought we'd drop that in tonight because we happen to see that. And it really works. When the devil comes out here, just give him a spin.
Amen.
Let somebody else give him a spin. You've heard of spin out. He'll be gone. He'll be gone. Hallelujah. I know you believe what I'm saying. All right, let's sing together. Over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. Oh, my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus we're safe. Can you sing that with me? Evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep out Lord, over the wild stormy deep. But in Jesus I am saved evermore. I need thee, Lord, we need thee every hour. We need thee. We precious Savior, and oh, how we need thee. Can you sing with me? So don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. Just let him in. For oh, how you'll need him just to please your call on that eternal day. Let's listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. You love the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus. Wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and tears. Turn around, turn around, God is calling. Oh, he's calling you from a life of wasted years. Sing it again. Wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and tears. So turn around, for God is calling. He's calling you from a life of, can you sing it one more time? Turn around, for God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Like the song they wrote, I've wasted it, wasted years. A lot of people have wasted a lot of years, wasted the years, because they would not listen to the gospel. They would not seek after God. They went out to do their own thing and to make their way in life, when they could have had treasures in heaven. They could have laid up much treasure in heaven. The Bible said, lay not up treasure on earth, where thieves break through and steal and moth doth corrupt. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there. Don't do that. But it said, lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves cannot break through and steal and what moth doesn't corrupt. Lay up your treasure in heaven. Follow after heavenly things. Do heavenly things. Let your conversation be in heaven. Don't let it be in the earth. You love the Lord? How foolish, as you stumble along in sin and tears. So turn around, for God is calling, calling me and you from a life of wasted years. Sing it again. Wasted years, wasted years. I've been so fooled as I stumble along in sin and tears. Turn around, for God is calling, calling me and you from a life. Can you sing one more time? Turn around, for God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Wasted years. Think on it now. Can you think on that tonight? Foolish as you stumble along in sin and tears. Turn around. Turn around, for God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Hallelujah. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the valley, and he's the bright morning. And he is the fairest of them. Yes, yes. I've been praying for a long time. Praying for you a long time. Pray. Can we pray together? Lift your hands up. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's the bright and the morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody, oh, one more time. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Remember, they would know if you tell them. Ought to know who Jesus. Everybody ought to know Jesus, for he is the lily of my valley, and he's the bright and morning star. He's fairest of 10,000. Everybody, when I stand upon the mountain looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing it with me? For after all, this order and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, also looking that my Lord said he's prepared, gives me faith that I can make it. Can you sing it with me? After all, life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I the mountain also looking over into the city that my Lord says prepared, gives me faith that I sing it again. For after all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, also tall, looking over into the city, back. I can make it after all.
Sing it again.
For after all, this life is over, and my burdens have been lifted,
Sing it again.
The breeze, there's no more sorrow. Across the breeze, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the breeze. And I'll never be on. Far across the bridge,
there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain.
I want you to sing it one more time, can you? Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine. Let's sing another chorus or two, can we? He was here all the time. He was here all the time. And in patience, in love, he was here. Oh, can you sing it again with me? Jesus was here all the time. He was here. angel chorus standing somewhere in the shadows. Can we sing it? Ding somewhere. Sing it one more time. Standing. One more time. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you find Jesus. He's the only one who cares. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail print in his hand. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home. When I was but a boy, in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I hear my mother call at set of sun. Can you sing it with me? Come home. One more time. Come home. Come home. It's supper time. We'll go and play on the piano so she can come down here. She asked her daddy to do that for her. Come home. Come home. It's supper time. Well, at last, let's lift our hands up and praise the Lord, can we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor. Hallelujah. Let's just praise God. Okay, come on up, Tony. It's so good to see my grandson come up. Got one of them standing out here in front of me, Junior. Here comes Tony, Dale's boys, Dale and Frank's boys. I feel like we'll have Michelle one of these days. And I saw my sister's daughter come up tonight. I've been praying a lot for her. And she came up tonight and gave her heart to God. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. While you've got your hands up, loving the Lord, tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you love him. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. When you see the Lord perfecting praise out of the mouth of these little babes, you know that summer's nigh. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth its leaf, you know that summer's nigh. The little ones are coming around. The branches are tender. They're beginning to put forth leaves. It's like the song we wrote, summertime is near. Summertime is near. Let's get the message out. Let's get to our loved ones. Let's get to our loved ones. All of you have loved ones. Let's get to them. Let's reach them. Folks, there's no sadder thought that I know than to think that a soul would perish in the flames of the fire. To know that somebody has been cut off in the flames to never have another chance. That's eternal. That's eternal. But tonight, we're in God. We have the Lord. He's with us. We can feel him. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike, that he loves me? Because you got faith in him. You believe in him. You're trusting him. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast him out. But I'll raise him up at the last day. Every one of them, he said. Don't you feel him tonight? Don't you feel his love tonight? He loves you, folks. He's counting on you to go into all the world and tell people about this wonderful joy. He wants you to be full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Spirit. They tarried on the day of Pentecost till the Spirit. God was moved so much he moved into that building and shook the building with a mighty, it was like a mighty rushing wind. The Spirit swept over them and they began to speak with tongues of fire. God literally set them on fire. And the Spirit moved over them in such a mighty way. He wants us to love him tonight. He wants us to worship him tonight. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To see the sisters and brothers really, truthfully loving the Lord Jesus, loving one another, being filled with the Spirit. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Now's your chance to get filled with the Spirit. You say, how can I do that? Trust him. Trust him. You say, but Brother Pike, in my mind, I just got to work some things out. No, just say, Lord, if I die, Lord, if it wrecks up, I'm turning it over to you tonight. I'm not going to try to figure out anything else. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. You promise you're going to do it. I believe it. No matter what comes from now on, it's going to be God. Can you do that tonight? You'll feel something like you never felt in your life. Brothers and sisters, do that tonight. Do that tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, save Tony tonight. Save Tony tonight. Hallelujah. Believe on the Lord Jesus. It'll come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just lift your hands up and love him, Tony. You know how to love the Lord. You know what it is. Love him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The shadows are lengthening fast. I'm home. Come home, come on home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going. Love. Can you lift your hands up and love him? Can you? Bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing.